Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Can you imagine living on a remote island in the South Pacific? There were no roads, no cars, no telephones, no electricity, and no running water. Sure, it looks like an island paradise, but what about the bathroom situation?
Oh my God, cockroaches. Hundreds of them, thousands of them. They're everywhere, above me, below me, and crawling all over my hands and feet. They just appeared out of nowhere. The latrine vibrates with the activity of thousands of scattering cockroaches. And before I know it, they are flying. That's right, they fly.
Today on Storyworthy, I tell the story about that time I joined the Peace Corps.
The pig grabs my toothbrush, turns around, and runs off into the night. Oh, I get it. I'm far from home.
Stay tuned for another one of my closet confessionals. That time I joined the Peace Corps. Stay close. Did I ever tell you guys that I'm a lousy cook? Well, guess what? That's changing because now there's HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and super convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. And not only does it save you time on your weekly shop, it helps you discover how easy and delicious cooking can really be. Like, I love cooking with my friends. I mean, it's a nice way to spend time with people and catch up. And right now, you can get 25 pounds off your first box. Visit HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. Happy cooking, you guys. Okay, I think I've said this before, but the hardest part for me about cooking is the shopping. Like, I can't find what I need in the store, and I don't have time to figure it all out. I get frustrated. But now there's HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that partners with sustainable farms, fisheries, and butchers to bring you all the ingredients you need to create incredible meals every week. Now, recently, I made shrimp and lemon risotto with roasted zucchini and parmesan, and it was fantastic. I mean, both my daughter, Alabama, and I loved it. And by the way, she cannot believe that I'm actually cooking these meals. I tell her to come in the kitchen and watch me. It's happening. And it's really easy, you guys. The recipes all have step-by-step instructions. And my meals come out looking just like the picture. I mean, it's amazing. And right now, you can get 25 pounds off your first box. Visit HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. HelloFresh.co.uk and enter the promo code STORY. Have fun with it, you guys. Hey, it's Christine Blackburn, and you're listening to Storyworthy. Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from my closet in Los Feliz, California. That's right, today is a closet confessional. Now, I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you all enjoyed the story the other day from writer Matt Oswalt about the movie Fat City. And if you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen to Matt's completely original story. I mean, it's funny, and it's interesting, and well, you know, it's Matt Oswalt, you guys. Now, today's show is one of my own personal true stories. And as you know, I bring these to you guys about once a month, a closet confessional from my closet, which make great little recording studios, by the way. And the response has been fantastic, so I'm going to keep it up. Now, the title of today's show is That Time I Went to the Peace Corps. Now, if you're a fan of Storyworthy, you may have heard bits and pieces of this story before, but this is the full story. Well, it's actually the first in three Peace Corps stories I have, because you guys, if you go to the Peace Corps, you know, you're going to have some stories. That's all I'm saying. But this one is how it all started. This is the beginning of my time in the Peace Corps. So that's that. Okay, before I begin the story, I did want to remind you guys to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy, and why not head over to my website at storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list. That way I'll send you a short little email every Monday, and, you know, we can keep in touch that way. It's nice. You know, we're friends. You get it. Okay, let's get right to the story. Now, I feel funny about giving you guys my own bio, so if you want to know more about me, you can go to christineblackburn.com. See? How convenient is that? Okay, let's do this. Imagine four cassette tapes for your Walkman that hold eight albums, and this is the only music you're going to hear for 2 months on a remote island in the South Pacific. Choose your sounds carefully. In 1997, I went with Counting Crows, Recovering the Satellites, and August and Everything After, Nancy Griffith, Blue Roses from the Moons, and Flyer, Neil Young, Live Rust, and After the Gold Rush, Cracker, Kerosene Hat, and Sarah McLachlan's Fumbling Towards Ecstasy. That ought to hold me, I thought. I'm still not exactly sure why I chose to drastically change my life at the age of 30 and join the Peace Corps, but it had something to do with my recent divorce and wanting to get out of town, out of the country. And what better way to completely turn your life upside down but to join the Peace Corps? After a year-long application process, in which I became certified to teach English as a second language, I was finally accepted by the Peace Corps and was given a choice of four countries in which to do my 27 months of service: Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Dominica, and Sri Lanka. The stands were out immediately because of the weather. I was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and more cold gray days were not what I needed. Dominica did not appeal to me because of the proximity to Miami. I mean, if I can get to the U.S. in 2 hours, am I really in the Peace Corps? I chose Sri Lanka. To prepare myself, I pick up a Lonely Planet's Guide to Sri Lanka and a Sinhalese language book. I give notice to vacate my apartment, sell my car, and resign from my job as a flight attendant. Then, 1 month before I'm going to leave for Sri Lanka, I get a call on my answering machine. Yes, that's how long ago it was. We had answering machines. Hey, Christine, this is Sandra from the Peace Corps office in New York. We've had to cancel your Peace Corps training class due to the recent conflict between the Tamil Tigers and the Hindu people in Sri Lanka. We'll call you in the spring and get you placed in another country. Click. What? I dialed back as fast as my fingers could hit three buttons, star 69. I plead with Sandra. I resigned from my job. I sold my car. I gave my apartment notice. I have to go somewhere. I can't wait until the spring, Sandra. I have to go now or I'm not leaving. As luck would have it, Sandra did have another country that needed volunteers immediately. Tonga. Tonga? I said. That's cool. I've never been to Africa. She replies, you're thinking of Togo. I'm talking about Tonga, the Kingdom of Tonga. It's in the South Pacific. The South Pacific, I think. Now we're talking. I ditch the Sri Lanka guidebooks, and a few weeks later, I'm on my way to a tiny cluster of islands just south of Fiji, Tonga. The population of Tonga is 100,000 people. 100,000 people. That's it. The Rose Bowl holds 100,000 people. The entire country of Tonga could go to the Lilith Fair together. This was 1997, you guys. Look, I'm just saying, it's a small country. And if that isn't small enough, the Peace Corps sends me to the tiny outer island of Otea with a population of 67 for my training. Now, Otea is incredibly beautiful. White sand, blue waters, towering palm trees. Exactly like you'd picture a remote island in the South Pacific. But it was also very primitive. There were no roads, no cars, no telephones, no electricity, and no running water. But what Otea did have was an abundance of friendly people. Well, 67. But they had huge smiles and open arms. In fact, they call Tonga the Friendly Islands, and the people really are. Now, when I first arrive on Otea, the sun is setting and a warm breeze is blowing. I can see children on the beach in blue and white school uniforms singing a welcoming song. As I get off the boat, kids run up to me and place strand after strand of lace around my neck. The orchids smell fabulous, and I know immediately that my arrival on Otea is a treasured moment I'll never forget. The Peace Corps places you with a homestay family for the first few months of service to get you acclimated to the country and culture. I was placed with a family that consisted of Taufa and Khaleesi and their children, 9-year-old Valu and a 3-year-old girl, Alini. The villagers led me to a town hall and had a huge feast for me, which consisted of roasted pig, raw fish, breadfruit, watermelon, mango, root crop, and pineapple. Now, I realized later that this is the only food on the island, and every feast is the same. In fact, every meal is practically the same. A few hours after I arrive, it begins to rain, and these are torrential rains like I've never experienced. I mean, the sky just opens up and a deluge of water pours down. The picture-perfect island immediately becomes dark, stormy, and violent. The mud now is easily a foot thick as I followed my family in the pitch dark to their home, where I'll be staying for the next 2 months. The one-room house is made of cement block. There's no electricity and no running water. Now, there are solar panels on the roof, and it allows for one dim overhead light in the house. And they do have a rain tank outside, and the drinking water was always cool and fresh, after you picked out the mosquito larva, that is. Now, inside the home, there's a curtain down the middle of the room dividing it in half, and they give one entire side to me. There's also one white plastic chair in the house, which they've placed on my side. Now, after drying off with towels, they sit me in the chair, and the family of four sits on the floor at my feet, staring up at me, like they can't even believe I'm breathing. The language barrier is huge, but I ignore it and launch full speed into my introduction. So, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's in the Midwest, just south of New York. You've probably heard of Pittsburgh because of the Pittsburgh Steelers. One time I got to meet Bill Cowher. It was a pretty big deal. Taufa, the father, stops me. Cristina, America, do you have bread? Yes. Yes, we do have bread, Taufa, I reply. He continues, do you have car? Well, yes, yes, I did have a car, Taufa. And then, do you know Clinton? No, I don't know Clinton. And next comes the question that puts this entire experience into perspective. Cristina, in America, do you have moon? I ignore this question completely, and I push on with the topic of the Steelers. So the NFL is divided into two divisions, the NFC and the AFC. What was I even talking about? They didn't even know we were from the same planet. Next, I have to go to the bathroom. I begin talking louder and gesturing wildly, even more wildly than I had been before. They get the message that I have to pee, and the entire family leads me back outside into the pouring rain. Now, we are immediately soaking wet again. Apparently, umbrellas hadn't made their way to the outer islands of Tonga yet. The family is very excited about my Peace Corps-issued flashlight, and they take it from me and lead me through the mud to a four-sided structure with no roof. The door is a coconut frond. I open the frond, and they shine the flashlight on the ground. I see a bucket sitting in the mud. I look up at the family and ask, am I supposed to pee in the bucket? Because what if I have to number two? I find out later that this is the bathing area, the semi-private bathing area. And I say semi-private because the walls were only about 4 feet high, so while neighbors in the village walk by, they see your head and shoulders sticking up over the palm fronds. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I take the flashlight back from Taufa, and I shine the flashlight around the yard. Then I saw a latrine. It looked the same as the bathing area, but it had a tin roof. Now the family follows me as I lead the way with the flashlight. We get to the latrine, I open the coconut frond door, and shine my flashlight around inside the small dark space. It seems okay. I step inside quickly and close the door. Now the seat to the hole is on a wooden ledge about 3 feet high. I have to put the flashlight in my mouth, place my hands on the ledge, and then, like, hoist up my skirt and sort of jump up onto the toilet. I do this, and I just sat down. And then I hear scratching, scraping sounds. My flashlight flickers frantically around the tiny closet-sized space, and what do I see? Cockroaches. Oh my God, cockroaches! Hundreds of them, thousands of them. They're everywhere, above me, below me, and crawling all over my hands and feet. They just appeared out of nowhere. The latrine vibrates with the activity of thousands of scattering cockroaches. And before I know it, they are flying. That's right, they fly. And now they're in my hair. Oh, shit. It's okay. It's okay. I can do this. I will not be hurt from a cockroach. I'm just grossed out. Just pee, Christine, I tell myself. Just pee and get out. I can't sit still, and urine starts running down my legs. The latrine shakes even more violently, and the rain pours down. My family is calling for me outside the latrine. Koiha, koiha, they yell over the rainstorm. Koiha means, are you okay? Yes, yes, I'm fine. I'm a Peace Corps volunteer, trainee. I finish peeing, and I reach for toilet paper. But there's no toilet paper. This is the outer islands of the South Pacific. They use their left hand. Then I fall through the front door and onto the ground into the mud. My family looks down at me like I'm from another planet, which, as you know, they think I am. I stand up and Khaleesi and Taufa casually brush the cockroaches out of my hair and off my body. We walk back to the hut quickly, through the mud, and finally we're back inside. It's late. I'm tired. I just want to brush my teeth, go to my side of the room, lay down on the little bed, and listen to the counting crows on my Walkman. I pantomime to Khaleesi that I need to brush my teeth. She steps back outside into the rain, and she brings me the bucket from the bathing area. It turns out every family has a bucket. I find out later that this all-purpose stainless steel bucket is used for cooking, washing clothes, bathing, and brushing your teeth. It was quite a bucket. I step back outside into the rain and I crouch down next to the bucket, which Khaleesi has filled halfway with water. Or maybe the rain filled it. Regardless, when I'm done brushing my teeth, I set my toothbrush down on the ground and splash my face with water, just glad the day is over. And then, all of a sudden, I look up and I see a pig running toward me from out of nowhere. The pig grabs my toothbrush, turns around, and runs off into the night. Oh, I get it. I'm far from home. The next day, I write a letter to the Peace Corps director on the main island requesting a toothbrush and a can of roach spray. 3 weeks later, the package arrives on the mail boat. It contains a brand new toothbrush and a can of Raid. Now, the toothbrush has hard bristles, but after not brushing my teeth for 3 weeks, it's a godsend. The Raid is a blessing, too, because I've been shitting on the ground outside the latrine for a month. My plan is to brush my teeth and then kill the cockroaches. Now, I don't want to insult my homestay family by cleaning the bathroom with roach spray, so I decide to wait for a time when no one is around, which in Tonga means Sundays, because on Sundays, everything in Tonga stops so that the people can spend their day at church, eat a huge feast, and sleep. The airport on the main island is closed, all the stores are closed, and it's illegal to drive a car, and even riding a bicycle is frowned upon. Sunday is truly a day of eating and sleeping in the Kingdom of Tonga. Sunday will be the perfect time for my raid on the latrine. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and sure enough, the entire village is asleep. In the light of day, I'm not nearly as afraid of the latrine. I approach the little structure with a raid can held high. I open the palm frond, step inside, and furiously spray the entire contents of the can down the hole, and then I quickly toss the can in the hole to get rid of the evidence. At first I hear nothing, and I'm thinking, these roaches are fucking with me. But what can I do? The raid is gone. I back out of the latrine and into the bright sunlight, and then I hear the rumbling. Next thing I know, there are thousands upon thousands of cockroaches crawling out of the latrine. The entire structure is shaking, and the tin roof is pinging with the sounds of their little bodies hitting it. They pour into the yard like a black blanket covering the grass. Holy shit, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I look around for someone to share this moment with me, but of course everyone is asleep. And then, suddenly, out of nowhere, dozens of chickens in the village start pecking their way toward the latrine and eating the cockroaches. I'm watching this unfold like a National Geographic special. I scream, "No, no, chickens, don't eat the raid-filled cockroaches." All I can think is that the chickens will be poisoned, their eggs will be poisoned, and then the villagers will eat the eggs and they'll get sick and die, and I will have killed off the entire village of Otea in the South Pacific. What kind of Peace Corps volunteer am I? Well, the good news is the chickens didn't die. The bad news is the cockroaches didn't go away either, and I had to shit outside for another month. If you think that I could be forgiven, wish you would. Okay, now I know a lot of you are out there wondering, well, what happened next? How did the rest of your Peace Corps experience go? Did you stay the entire 2 years? Did you ever get a real toilet? Well, friends, you'll just have to wait and listen to the next Closet Confessional, which will be coming up next month. And it's titled, That Time I Got Medevaced Out of the Peace Corps. So, yeah, my Peace Corps experience, unfortunately, did not end well. Anyway, you guys, thank you so much again for listening to my Closet Confessional. I really enjoy doing these, and I appreciate you guys sending me emails and telling me what you think as well. You can shoot me an email anytime at info@storyworthypodcast.com. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. Don't forget to head over to iTunes and leave Storyworthy a good review. I always need this. 5 stars and a good review. And join us next week on Storyworthy for a hilarious story from legendary comedian Rich Scheidner.
Now the guy, he just snaps. He throws down the cue stick and rushes the stage. Now, first of all, I knew he's not very bright because if he's going to start a bar fight with me, why drop the cue stick? Bring the cue stick with you.
Don't miss the incredibly talented Rich Scheidner in his story, The Heckler, next week on Storyworthy. Okay, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and Jeffrey Glazer, but especially a big thanks to you guys, to my Storyworthy audience. By tuning in every week, you guys make all this happen. So really, on behalf of all of you, thank you so much for listening. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy week. You can
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.